Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
Can we talk something else? Can we talk about something else?
Hello. Out there. I've always admired the occupation of butler. The Remains of the Day, a 1993 film starring Anthony Hopkins, made a big impression on me as a teenager. There was something about the order, the etiquette, the way everything needed to be just so, that appealed to me. But alas, I was turned off from the trade when I heard a black man say that butler was another way to spell biatch. Deep down, I've always known that that's not true, that the butler's not a biatch. The butler is a shrewd character, able to handle any situation with poise when others might panic, completely competent, understanding everything while asking nothing, only observing, then making subtle adjustments like a captain to the wheel of his ship, steering everything smooth, whilst those observing believe they're witnessing a natural occurrence. Supernatural is the influence of a good butler, whom without the whole production would crash, every dish to the floor, should his steady hand sweat, then slip. I get it. I admire the butler. As did today's subject, Archibald Thomas Hall II, who, despite being born with a butler's name, decided to go by Roy, which I thought was strange, until I got to know him better and realized that strange is what you need to be in the first place to even consider the gig. Queer is maybe the better word, but a modern gentleman such as I might reconsider and go a little further to use the word questionable. Then, once those questions were answered, go all the way and land on monstrous, as the press did, causing the upper crust of society to nearly choke on their biscuits, croissants, and buttered scones, sputtering red-faced over neatly pressed morning newspapers of the time, aghast upon learning how a common man turned con man, infiltrated their most trusted trade, perverting every tenet of it. Welcome to Dark Topic. I'm your host, Jack Luna. This is a true crime happening. The Monster Butler. Archibald Thompson Hall II was born July 17, 1924, in a humble flat on a nameless street known today as Ibrox Road in the Partick area of Glasgow, Scotland. His parents were Marion and Archibald. Archie would become Archibald Hall Sr. when our future butler arrived on the dumbwaiter, which I guess would be his mom at that time, seeing how she was the one serving meals and wasn't that bright. No, I made that up. The dumbwaiter joke there. It's a dumb joke. In the spirit of this episode, I made that up. You see, Archibald Jr. would learn to embellish or outright lie early. He always wanted things to be more. I believe he was a born performer of the flamboyant gay variety, not allowed to flourish in his time and circumstance. And forgive me, I vowed to button myself up and stay appropriately on task for this episode. Archibald Sr. worked as a shipyard laborer. The family lived in modest, working-class conditions, typical of pre-war Glasgow, a city marked by industrial grit, poverty, and social divides. Archibald's father was a stern but distant figure, often absent due to work, leaving the household primarily under the rule of the strong-willed mother of the situation, Marion. She instilled in Archibald Jr. a sense of discipline, but also contributed to an unstable home environment fraught with emotional turbulence. From a young age, Hall exhibited signs of detachment and rebellion. He was a social outcast amongst his peers, struggling to form and maintain friendships. School held little interest for him. He frequently skipped classes, preferring to wander the streets or immerse himself in solitary pursuits. During his free time, Archibald Jr. would sneak into local variety shows and cinemas, captivated by the glitz and glamour they portrayed. These experiences ignited a deep-seated longing for a life of luxury and admiration. He idolized silver screen stars like Cary Grant in To Catch a Thief, and David Niven in Raffles, whom embodied suave, debonair thieves, charming rogues, navigating high society with ease and escaping consequences through wit and elegance. Raised in a cramped, working-class home with limited prospects, Archibald Hall Jr. became obsessed with escaping his origins. He dreamt of wealth, fame, and the social acclaim afforded to performers and aristocrats, viewing crime not as a moral failing, but as a pathway to the refined life he craved. Hall's bisexuality emerged early, a dangerous trait in an era where homosexuality was illegal in the UK, under the Offences Against the Person Act of 1861 and the Criminal Law Amendment Act of 1885. Homosexuals faced severe societal stigma, harassment, and legal persecution, often leading to imprisonment or chemical castration. Despite this, Hall boasted of an innate magnetic sexual attraction that drew both men and women to him. He claimed numerous affairs with rich and successful individuals, using these relationships to glimpse the opulent lifestyles he desired. However, verifying these claims is challenging. Archibald Hall Jr. was a consummate storyteller prone to embellishment. What is certain is that he learned young to wield his sexuality as a tool for manipulation, charming his way into circles that offered opportunities for advancement or exploitation. An older divorced neighbor named Mrs. Phillips played a pivotal role in his sexual awakening, a MILF of the time. According to Hall's own accounts and his memoirs, she initiated him into intimacy, introducing Hall to a world of sophistication and indulgence that contrasted sharply with his humble upbringing. This encounter fueled his taste for the high life and reinforced his belief in using personal allure to ascend social ladders. Around this time, Archibald Hall Jr. also experimented with cross-dressing and explored London's underground gay scene after relocating there, further blurring the lines between his identity and performance. By age 15 in 1939, Hall's criminal tendencies materialized. He began with petty scams such as stealing Red Cross collection tins, then redistributing them, posing as the pickup boy for each. These early cons demonstrated his emerging talent for deception and acting. His first major run-in with the law came in 1941 at barely 17 when he was sentenced to 60 days in jail for two charges of theft from a residence and one for forging a check. The court, concerned by his youth and apathy, referred him to a psychiatrist. The evaluation described him as emotionally detached, apathetic, and unremorseful, traits that would define his psychopathic profile. In May 1943, Hall received another 30 days for theft and violating wartime rationing orders, a common offense during World War II when resources were scarce. By 1944, a more thorough psychiatric assessment painted a chilling picture, a quote from the psychiatrist. "He gives me the impression that he is acting a part in which all the time he is living in a purely imaginary world. He has no moral sense whatsoever and is a danger to society." End quote. This diagnosis foreshadowed his lifelong detachment from reality, where Hall viewed life as a stage and himself as the starring anti-hero. Post-war, Hall's crimes escalated. Between 1945 and 1950, he alternated between freedom and incarceration, spending more time inside prisons and mental institutions than out. Over 70 years in total sentences have been handed down to him before his eventual life terms. He was confined to psychiatric hospitals three times on grounds of insanity and escaped thrice, showcasing his cunning and resourcefulness. During these periods, Hall transformed himself. He studied etiquette books, learned about aristocracy, antiques, and fine wines, and practiced elocution to dull his thick Glaswegian accent, adopting a more anglicized, refined tone. This self-education was deliberate to infiltrate upper-class households as a butler, scoping them for thefts. Hall adopted the alias Roy Fontaine, inspired by actress Joan Fontaine's role in Alfred Hitchcock's Rebecca, 1940, which he watched obsessively. The film about a naive woman marrying into aristocracy, a word I can't fucking say because I'm not this part. I'm trying here. The woman uncovers dark secrets, and this resonated with Hall's aspirations and deceptions. As Roy Fontaine, he positioned himself as the perfect gentleman, polite, charming, and impeccably mannered. He resisted rehabilitation, viewing prison as a temporary setback rather than a deterrent. Stealing jewels remained his favorite crime, though he was notoriously inept at evading capture, often due to overconfidence. In the late 1940s, Archibald Hall Jr. moved to London, drawn by its vibrant nightlife and relative tolerance for homosexuality despite its illegality. The city was divided by gangs, and Hall immersed himself in the criminal underworld, posing as an aristocrat or wealthy American to con victims. He perfected scams like the Sheik Sting, where he impersonated a Middle Eastern dignitary to swindle money, and the Fiancé Fiddle, involving fake engagements to access jewelry. One notable heist was the Mowbray House job in the 1950s, where he burgled a high society residence, stealing valuables worth thousands. He also targeted the Montagu Arms and staged break-ins in Henley, blending theft with confidence tricks. Hall claimed affairs with prominent figures like Lord Boothby, a bisexual politician linked to scandals, and playwright Terence Rattigan, using these connections for insider information on valuables. Whether true or exaggerated, these stories bolstered his self-image as a magnetic rogue. In 1964, he was sentenced to 10 years for jewel thefts. While at Blundeston Prison in Suffolk, he escaped in 1966, but was recaptured, adding 5 years to his sentence. Paroled in 1972, Hall briefly attempted legitimacy, but reverted quickly to crime. Reports from 1970 suggest an arrest for selling secret papers to the Russians, which Hall denied as a miscarriage of justice. He downplayed his insanity diagnoses as an adult, hiding these to maintain his glamorous facade. Instead, he boasted of sexual conquests and luxurious exploits, crafting a narrative of aspiration over pathology. Throughout the 1950s and 60s, Hall interspersed prison stints with butler positions, gaining access to grand estates. He worked for various aristocrats, studying their habits to plan thefts. In 1973, he was imprisoned again at Long Larton Prison in Worcestershire, where he met David Wright, a small-time crook, beginning a sexual relationship. Released in 77, Hall secured a butler position with Lady Margaret Peggy Hudson, the widow of Sir Austin Hudson, a former Conservative MP at Carlton House in Dumfriesshire, Scotland. The job came via an agency with a reference from his father-in-law, John Wooten. Lady Hudson, impressed by his politeness, hired Hall at £20 per week. Hall claimed he enjoyed country life, but his true intent was to case the estate and nearby homes for robberies. Wright, released in October 1977, remember that's his prison boyfriend, joined Hall in Scotland. Lady Hudson liked Wright and offered him a handyman role. This created tension. Wright knew Hall's con man past and threatened exposure. Wright stole a ring, leading to a heated argument with the butler and Hall. One night, Wright, the working handyman of the estate, entered Hall, the working butler of the estate's room, and fired a shot through the headboard while they're having sex, probably, which is completely cool, missing Hall, and then pistol whipped him. They reconciled with drinks and finished up their sex, but Hall plotted revenge from here forward. The next morning during a rabbit hunt, butler Roy Fontaine, whom we know as Hall, I'll continue referencing him as Hall, monitored Wright's ammunition. When his boyfriend Wright's gun emptied, Hall shot him in the head. Hearing mutters, continuous mutters from his bitching boyfriend, he fired three more times into that head to silence him. He dragged the body to a stream, covering it with dirt, branches, and boulders out in this hunting area of the estate, and then he returned over the next few weeks doing dog walks to add concealment each time. Hall told Lady Hudson that Wright had taken a job in Torquay. Suspicious, she had local police investigate. They escorted Hall eventually off the property, thinking he might have something to do with this. Though, they never found the body in that time. They eventually did, but in that time, they never found the body. And Hall was taking these walks with the dog to see if the dog could sniff the corpse out. It could at the beginning, but after he covered it up a few times and really covered it up in the evenings without the dogs, eventually the dog was not alerted to that area. Michael Keto, 39. This is now in the year 1977, late 77. He shared Hall's unstable childhood. Hall, now disgraced from the Lady Hudson estate, under suspicion of murder, began a relationship with Michael Keto. Archibald Hall, Roy Fontaine, left eagerly. They hadn't found the body yet. The reason why he was bringing the dog by the body all the time was to make sure it couldn't sniff out that body. He would add a bunch of dirt to it, a bunch of branches, dig the hole deeper, smush it down when he could. And eventually the dog would stop alerting to that body. Searches by the police, by bloodhounds, it went the same way. He left eagerly off the property, thinking maybe somehow, some way, they will find the body of his boyfriend, Wright. And holy fuck, it's cold in here. It's so cold. I got to put some of these feet warmers on my feet. And I have some sneaky cigarettes here. I'm going to smoke. Don't tell nobody. I made promises. I'm going to smoke a couple cigarettes. I got a bottle back here, too. I didn't want to drink on this one. But I'm going to take a slug of that, and I'll be straight to you. Straight and back to you in a moment. You know, I used to work as a ice maker, and everybody saw you as, you know, straight and normal, and you had to run around the ice and fix things, and as a pebbler at a curling rink, you had to walk backwards and pebble ice, and there's no way you could be drinking or doing anything fucked up in that spot, or else you'd fall over. God, I'll tell you, I learned how to walk straight backwards while hammered doing that job, and I'm trying to do it here. I need a slug. I need a smoke. Again, don't tell nobody. Fuck, I get it right. I gotta get it right, damn. I'll be right back. Like a butler. Mood, everybody. Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they have found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flour for whatever the type of buzz you want. I'm talking once again about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies. And you can get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code DARKTOPIC. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. I'm a big fan of their Sexual Euphoria Advanced Gummies. I take them by myself. I like the 15 milligram Sexual Euphoria Advanced THC gummies. They make me go from G-Wiz to Cheese Whiz in 15 minutes flat. Probably just lost the ad there. But I'm telling you, 5-15 minutes, you're ready to go. Going to the bathroom. Because I'm not involving my girl in this situation. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much anywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code DARKTOPIC. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code DARKTOPIC when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try today at Mood.com.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Graham laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
Let's head to late 1977. Michael Keto, 39, shared Archibald Hall's unstable childhood. He'd been fostered. He joined the armed forces but was dishonorably discharged for robbery. He was twice married with a daughter. Keto survived on odd jobs and petty crimes. On the run after robbing a pub, he met Archibald Hall through mutual acquaintance Mary Coggle in a London pub. Keto saw the partnership as a chance for big money, deferring to Hall's leadership. Hall, continuing with his butler skills in order to con people, got his way into the service for a one Walter Travers Scott Elliott, born in 1895, a former Labour MP for Accrington, and an antique collector from a wealthy Indian business family, the Bombay Company Madras. And his wife lived in this estate, Dorothy Alice Scott Elliott, 22 years his junior. They married in 48. Dorothy, daughter of a Calcutta merchant, suffered crippling arthritis and early senility by November of 1977. The couple lived in a luxurious London flat filled with priceless antiques. Hall had worked for them a month when, out drinking with Keto, they planned the robbery. Touring the flat, they raided the wine cellar. Dorothy came across them, confronted them, demanding to know who Keto was. Keto grabbed her, covered her mouth, dragged her to a room where she fell. They suffocated her with a pillow, did these new lovers and Hall and Keto. Panicking, they loaded her body into a rented car, planning to dispose of it in Scotland. They drugged the elder, her husband, Walter, with pills and whiskey, convincing the dazed 82-year-old that Dorothy had left ahead and they were going to find her. Mary Coggle, whom this gay couple, met in the pub and brought along in this moment as an accomplice of theirs. Mary Coggle, dressed in Dorothy's fur coat, wore a wig and Dorothy's jewelry, impersonating her to avoid suspicion while withdrawing large sums from the couple's bank. The group drove north, staying at a rented cottage in Newton, Arlush, Cumbria. They buried Dorothy face down in a ditch near Bracco or Loch Earn, Perthshire. Hall and Keto made trips back to London to steal and fence antiques, telling the groundskeeper that the Scott Elliots had gone abroad unexpectedly. Walter, the 82-year-old man of the manor, was kept drugged for 6 days to continue to sign checks with his fake wife here and Mary Coggle. He began to grow restless after a while, though, insisting on walks while they were out, that they couldn't prevent him from taking or else he would get really riled up. They were keeping him alive to have him there to sign checks. They drove to Blair Athol. Blair was an asshole that they knew, but I'm trying to keep buttoned up here. They drove to a place called Blair Athol, Perthshire, for the night. Then they went to the Intervestshire. Walter, this 82-year-old man in the manor, asked to relieve himself at one point. This is when Hall strangled him with his scarf. Hearing moans, Keto beat the old man to death with a shovel. They buried him in the woods near Tomick or Glen Affric, where foxes later disturbed the grave. So Mary Coggle, who is pretending to be the wife here, she was known as Belfast Mary, 51 years old at this time. She met Hall in 1972. A prostitute and fence, she sold him stolen checkbooks and licenses. My apologies, I said they met at the bar. Yes, they met up at the bar, but Hall knew her previous. She was involved peripherally in the Scott Elliott murders. She sat in the car during the old man Walter's killing. Her role had been impersonating his wife Dorothy after she'd been murdered for bank access. In public, she poorly acted the socialite, insisting on wearing Dorothy's mink coat with embroidered initials, risking exposure. She got too into the character. Hall and Keto decided she knew too much once the old man was dead. When Belfast Mary wanted to return to London, Hall insisted she discard the coat. It's got, you know, it's the victim's coat with her initials on it. She wouldn't do it. She wanted to keep the coat. As she packed, Hall struck her with a fire poker. Keto held her arms, They suffocated her with a plastic bag, dressed her in men's clothes, removed her wig, and hid her under the bed. The next day, they dumped her in a stream under a bridge in Middleby, Dumfriesshire. She was discovered on Christmas Day 1977 by a shepherd. Her body showed head lacerations, bruises on the left ear, shoulder, and arm from the poker. Her cause of death? Massive hemorrhage from a blow. Hall would later claim that she had simply fallen and hit rocks. He expressed regret, quote, "It never should have happened." Her involvement was minimal. She mainly had introduced keto to Hall. But that being said, I got to stop there for a second. I mean, she did a bit more than that. She got too into the character, freaked Hall and Keto out, and got killed, thrown into men's clothes, thrown into a ditch, and her body wasn't able to be identified for quite some time, actually, until Hall himself gave that up. On January the 13th of 1978, one Donald McMillan Thompson Hall, Hall's half-brother, younger by 17 years, was released from prison after 3 years for burglary. A crude, unkept pedophile, Donald disgusted Archibald, his brother. But Archibald revealed plans to rob Lady Hudson, and Hall regretted including him in the knowledge of these plans. So one night when they were getting drunk, they wanted to demonstrate tying techniques for an upcoming robbery, and Keto bound Donald. Hall then chloroformed his half-brother, then poured chloroform down his throat, drowning him in the bathtub afterwards. They placed him in the trunk and then headed to North Berth, and then headed to North Berth, and then headed to North Berwick to bury him. I didn't laugh there. That was just me clearing my throat. I wouldn't do that. In 7 months, Hall had killed 5 people. Things were completely out of control. January 1978 brought heavy snow. Archibald Hall Jr. instructed Keto to swap the rental plates ending in 999 because he deemed that number unlucky as it matched emergency numbers. But Keto forgot the tax disc. This was a bad move. When they stopped in Dunbar for food, they stayed at Blenheim House Hotel in North Berwick due to the storm. Owner, Mr. Wright, suspicious of Hall's nervousness during registration, called police, fearing a skip on the bill. Police, when they arrived, noted that vehicle, the rental with the switched plates, and they saw that there was a plate disc mismatch. You can see the tax disc, I believe they call it, on the vehicle. It did not match the plate number. Hall and Keto claimed that they had borrowed the car. At the police station, Hall managed to escape while going to the bathroom and got through a window. Searching the car later, police found Donald's body. A foot cramp. The brother to Hall. Hall was recaptured at a Haddington roadblock in a Dunbar taxi. He swallowed pills at that point in a suicide attempt. He failed and was treated at Edinburgh Hospital. He recovered. Keto confessed first. Hall followed, leading police to bodies amid media frenzy. In deep snow, they exhumed Wright from the stream, Dorothy from her ditch, and Walter, partially eaten by foxes. An antiques dealer in Newcastle under Lyme linked the car to undervalued sales from the bloodied Scott Elliott flat. Over £3,500 in valuables have been stolen from that estate. Belfast Mary, Mary Coggles, Christmas discovery, and hotel records connected everything. Archibald Thompson Hall II, a.k.a. Roy Fontaine, was tried in Edinburgh in May or November of 1978, accounts vary, and then in London, maybe once in one place, next to the other place. That's what I can figure from it, but who gives a fuck? Hall confessed to all 5 murders. Described as a psychopath with a, quote, "side of me when aroused that is cold and completely heartless." He received 4 life sentences. Scotland recommended 15 years minimum. England recommended never to release. Keto got 3 life terms, no minimum in Scotland, 15 years in England. Public records unclear. The public records are unclear on Keto's release or death. Ironically, that arrest likely saved him from Hall killing him eventually, as he always would, with witnesses and accomplices in his crimes. Archibald Thompson Hall II received a whole life tariff, one of Britain's oldest on record. He attempted suicide multiple times. In 1995, he wrote to The Observer demanding euthanasia for lifers. He published A Perfect Gentleman, written in 1999, which was later retitled To Kill and Kill Again, and then The Wicked Mr. Hall. The book romanticizes his life as a connoisseur of fine wines, an expert in antiques, and a consummate actor. He courted the media, starting bidding wars over the book, and encouraged relatives to profit from his notoriety. Archibald Thompson Hall II, a.k.a. Roy Fontaine, died of a stroke on September 16, 2002, at HMP Kingston, Portsmouth. Age 78 he was, the only prisoner to serve a full natural life sentence without parole. He was my great uncle. Nah, I'm just fucking with you. The story kind of sucks, so I want to do something there for you. He wasn't my great uncle. I'm a liar, just like he was. Archibald Thompson Hall II transitioned from thief and con man to murderer. Driven by resentment towards the affluent, he envied, yet aspired to emulate. Unlike typical serial killers, he targeted acquaintances when threatened. His accounts mix fact and fantasy. Discrepancies highlight his delusions. Psychologically, Archibald Hall exhibited classic psychopathy, lack of empathy with abilities in charm and manipulation. Was he starstruck, craving fame, a class warrior, resenting nobility, or mad for his insanity commitments? His books reveal a man desperate for legacy as a likable scoundrel, not a monster. Media sensationalism granted him the notoriety he sought, cementing his place in criminal history, despite his wishes as the Monster Butler. And that will do it. The butler did it. After all, no need for a long drunken rant after every episode, especially when I'm sober. Forgive me for those. Once in a while, I'll let it rip at the end, but I mean, I think most of you are cool with it. I'm going to lay off those for a bit because I'm sober and I'm out of cigarettes. And I think that's a good idea going forward. I should think it would be a good idea. Now that I'm a proper gentleman, with this new year of 2026, beginning with the Monster Butler, who I'm so inspired by, especially with killing everybody, that part. No, I'm kidding. I don't want to kill anybody. God. I'm now into the idea of hunting, though. Like a proper gentleman, of course. I'm in the process of completing the safety tests that I need to complete. I'm obtaining a possession license for a rifle. Here in Canada, you're not born with the right to bear arms, unless we're talking t-shirts, but it's a little cold for that. I'm wearing a proper vest right now, so it's heated. Actually, I have a sweater underneath it, so I don't have bare arms at the moment. Where was I? Yes, you have to prove yourself capable and prepared and sane to own a gun here, which is insane, or so I'm told by some of my American friends with completely bare arms. I'm talking wife beaters. They're wife beaters who cut the sleeves off their t-shirts. I live in a place where you should know how to get your own food. The literal middle of nowhere. And it's making me nervous depending on there always being meat at the grocery store. Sometimes there isn't. Always being gas at the gas station. Sometimes there isn't where I am. One bad month out here and we're out of luck. Last in the delivery list up here. So, gonna become a perfect gentleman with a weapon. I'm gonna shoot a bunch of rabbits and deer. Baby deer and baby mostly. I like to kill little things. Because they got the tender meat. Just kidding. Speaking of a bad month, check out Dark Topic Plus, where I've added a new show, Jack Luna's Bad News, a monthly recap of current crime events spanning the terrifying, mysterious, and odd of each month. Get on there on Dark Topic Plus, and you'll get that every month at the high-level tiers, and they drop once in a while, all those 13-floor drops. Everyone loves it. Go check it out. There's free trials abound. Links in the show notes. Well, this has become a bit of a bore, I dare say. I dare shoot. And I, for one, blame the butler. Until next time, keep those eyes cocked, those doors locked, and stay paranoid. Big love, everybody. Happy New Year. Wait. Let me share one more thing with you before you go. As your butler in true crime, it's something I've been working on here. If you feel that there's been gaps in your life, then that's because you weren't where you were supposed to be in those times. anytime you look back and see that gap, you weren't supposed to be there. You were supposed to be somewhere else. You made the wrong decision. Make the decision going forward that you feel in your gut you should make every single time. And your future self will be in tune with you.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Graham laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Graham keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit LGUSA.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Graham laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.